Hi, listeners. This is Christina. Welcome to the Innuendo and Outuendo podcast for Wednesday, April 30th, 2014. So this week, in addition to our cast update, media, Wicked, and theater news, we have an exciting first. An interview with a cast member from the Mexican production of Wicked, Eden Pintos. Eden is a swing in the Mexican production and also understudies Elphaba. So stay tuned for that. Now, Jonathan will give us the cast update.
Hello, listeners. Jonathan here with this week's cast update. In the Broadway company, Lauren Linville has replaced Iona Alfonso in the ensemble. Ms. Linville has previously performed on the second national tour of Wicked, as well as the Chicago sit-down production. Emily Ferranti has replaced Brianna Iacovone as a swing and understudy for Nessa Rose and the Midwife. Ms. Ferranti has previously played Nessa Rose on both national tours of Wicked, and also understudied Glinda on the first national tour. Lindsay Wood has returned to the company as a swing. On the first national tour, Emma Hunton has replaced Allison Luff as Elphaba. Ms. Hunton is brand new to Wicked, but her credits include the Broadway production of Spring Awakening, the national tour of Next to Normal, the off-Broadway production of Rent at New World Stages, and the recent production of Witness Uganda at the American Repertory Theater in Boston. Judd Williford has replaced Tom Flynn as Dr. Dillamond. Mr. Williford returns to Wicked after a six-month hiatus with the show. Keith A. Bearden has replaced Kevin McMahon as the witch's father and understudy for The Wizard and Dr. Dillamond. Mr. Bearden has previously performed in the Los Angeles and San Francisco productions of Wicked. That's it for this week's cast update, and now let's head over to Ryan with this week's Wicked News.
Hello, listeners. This is Ryan here, and I'm here with Shira and Christina, and welcome to this week's theater news. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good, good. It's very warm here in California. It was 80-something today.
Oh my god, I'm so jealous.
Wow, I am so jealous. I'm good. Cold here, but yeah. Hoping for heat in the next week.
Definitely. All right, so our first topic for theater news this week is the 2015 long-anticipated revival of Rodgers and Hammerstein's King and I will open at Lincoln Center starting in the spring of 2015. And possibility of Kelly O'Hara, who is currently starring in Bridges of Madison County, will be linked to the project. So what are your guys' thoughts on this? Have you ever seen The King and I, and do you think that this is a good fit for Kelly?
I haven't seen it live. You know, I've seen the movie, which, you know, I know is a bit, I'm sure is a bit different from the stage version, but, you know, I've listened to the score as well, mm-hmm. You know, like the with Yul Brynner, I think his name is. Mm-hmm. And, she certainly has, like, the type of voice for this that will wrap itself around the score very well.
Yeah, I have not seen The King and I either. I'm also familiar with the music. But I think that Kelly O'Hara, she's so incredibly talented. I would love to see her, basically in any role on Broadway.
Definitely.
What about you?
I haven't really heard of anything of, like, I know the movie version of The King and I, but I haven't seen it live, and I think that she would do great. I would like to get the chance to see her in Bridges before it closes, but I'm not sure if that's going to happen. But if she definitely is tied to the project in 2015, I will definitely try to go see it.
Yeah, for sure.
The bigger question is, who's going to play the king?
Ooh. Yeah, that's not mentioned, but she did say that Gia has a couple of ideas, though none were listed, of who she would like to play opposite, but nothing has been confirmed as of yet.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's tricky, because you've got to find someone who is Asian, but somebody who can help draw an audience.
Exactly.
And yeah.
It'll definitely be tricky for them, but I think that they can pull it off.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a lovely score, though. So it would be nice to see it on Broadway again.
Yeah.
So, Christopher Sieber, who is set to play Miss Trunchbull in the Broadway production Matilda, has once again had to postpone his debut due to a hand injury sustained during rehearsals. Mr. Sieber had hoped to begin performances in March, but now is expected to debut towards the end of this month, April. Do you guys think this is another Craig Bierko situation where Mr. Bierko came in the show, was there for a short while, and then got a shoulder injury and left, and then never actually returned? Or do you think Mr. Seabear will make his debut and perform for the full length of his contract? I mean, is this... I mean, Bertie Carvel managed to do this. I mean, is the role just too physically demanding for some people, or something else going on?
I'm not sure. I saw the show, and I, from what I can remember, I don't think it's, well, I could be wrong, but I don't think it's that physically demanding. Now, I know, Chris, he was, in his delay, he went back to Pippin for a while, which I actually saw him in, when Matt and, Patina were playing their final performance. So,
oh, yeah?
Still, yeah, he's still doing work, so I'm assuming that he, I'm hoping that he will follow through and, make his debut in Matilda. So...
Yeah, I'm really hoping that he does follow through. I'm planning on seeing Matilda over this coming summer, which is sort of a while away, but I'm going to be in New York. And I really hope that he is in it. I saw the article on Broadway.com where it looked like he still has a cast on his hand.
Yeah, he did. And when he was doing Pippin last weekend, he was wearing the cast, but I guess what they did was they wrapped it in like a black fabric. So it kind of blends it into the costume.
Oh, good.
So if anything, I'm assuming that if it's not what, like, his hand isn't that 100%, they might do something like that to kind of blend in with the costume, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I would imagine that given the costume that Miss Trunchbull wears, that they might be able to do that, even if he's not in too much pain to do the show, that he might be able to do that with the costume.
That would be good, because, you know, it would be a shame for this role to become, you know, kind of like the cursed role or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah. The new Disney musical Aladdin has joined the top 5 grossing shows, including the box office favorites, Wicked, The Lion King, The Book of Mormon, and Kinky Boots, and this show just opened very recently, so it's very exciting that it's joined the top 5 grossing shows. So do you guys have plans seeing the show? Do you know anything about it? And what do you think about this huge jump as such a successful show so soon?
It's great that a new show that just came in basically pierced the top 5. So it's kind of exciting. And I'm actually going to see it on Sunday with Isaac and Christina. So it's going to be, I think, I'm excited for it. I haven't seen any clips or anything, so I'm kind of going into it fresh-faced and new. So I'm very excited to see what's going to happen.
Of course, you know, I've seen the movie, and I'm old enough to have actually seen the movie in the theaters when it came out. So, but, you know, Aladdin's a great, you know, it's got a great score, so I'm interested to see how they expand upon it, and I'm hoping this will be, you know, in the vein of something like Beauty and the Beast, where it's, like, successfully translated to stage and not some, you know, not like a Tarzan or something.
Yeah, I completely agree. I was, over last summer, I was actually in New York, and I went to the New Amsterdam Theater. And they had pieces of the set and different costumes from Aladdin when it was in Seattle, I believe. And I actually, like, saw those set pieces that they used. There was some large camel, something like that. And we got to try on a few costumes with their tour, which was really cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that's exciting. So I really hope that I get to see it, especially since I saw some of the pieces that were in the Seattle preview, and I really hope that they said they weren't sure yet if all of those set pieces were going to make it into the Broadway production. So I hope that I can see it and see what's the same and such.
That's awesome.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, considering the show's making over $1 million now, I'm sure it will be around for a while. So, I mean, especially during the summer months, the challenge is going to be trying to get a ticket, probably, Shira.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, that's kind of why, like, we, you know, we're going to do, like, you know, the Lotto Rush TKTS thing for New York for a lot of shows, but we decided we better jump on that one.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Alrighty, so that does it for this week's theater news, and now we are going to head over to Wicked News with Jonathan Christina.
Hello, listeners. This is Ryan here with this week's Wicked News section. And first, we're going to start off with Christy Cates will be featured in a cabaret for a cause, which is a one-night-only event to benefit St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. The event will be held on May 12th at the Galapagos Art Space. Doors are going to open at 6:30 p.m. and the show begins at 7:30. If you want to purchase tickets, tickets are available at galapagosartspace.com/STJUDE. Tickets are $25 for first-come, first-served general admission, but if you purchase them at the door, it's $35. $50 for the gold package, which is guaranteed seating with an unobstructed view, and $100 for the VIP platinum package, which guarantees front island seating, complimentary champagne toast, and gift bags. And if you want to donate directly to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, you can go to www.stjude.org. Patty Murin has been cast in Playwrights Horizon's upcoming production of the new musical Fly by Night, which will begin previews on May 16th prior to an official opening on June 10th. The limited engagement will play through June 29th at Playwrights Horizon's Main Stage Theater. If you want more information, you can visit phnyc.org. Katie Rose Clark will play Kathy Hyatt in Long Wharf Theater's upcoming production of The Last 5 Years. This production will begin May 7th, prior to an official opening on May 14th, and will run through June 1st. For tickets and more information, you can call 203-787-4283 or visit longwharf.org. The Long Wharf Theater is located in New Haven, Connecticut. Seikon Sangbo has been cast in the upcoming production of Holler If You Hear Me, a new musical based off the lyrics of Tupac Shakur, and Miss Sangbo will be performing the role of Corinne. Preview performances at the Palace Theater begin on May 29th before opening on June 19th. On April 28th at 54 Below, the National Alliance for Musical Theater will highlight the three songwriting teams of Paul Gordon, Barbara Ensenelmi, and Brian Hargrove, and Ben Clark, who have been part of NAMT's Festival of New Musicals, as well as the writers themselves set to perform for the evening are Wicked alums Patty Murin and Corey Mock. The concert, again, is on April 28th at 9:30 p.m. There is a $25 to $35 cover charge with an extra $5 cover charge at the door. There is also a food and beverage minimum of $25. For more information, you can visit 54below.com. Thanksgiving the Musical will make its New York debut at the first annual Festival of the Offensive. The musical, adapted from the cult horror movie of the same name, will be directed by David Icke and choreographed by David Rossetti. Musical direction will be provided by Aaron Jordan. F. Michael Haney and Alex Brightman have both been cast in the production. This Equity-approved showcase will have four performances April 29th through May 4th at the Producers Club. For more information and tickets, you can visit thankskillingthemusical.com or offensivefestival.com. Kate Farner has been cast as an understudy in the off-Broadway play Under My Skin. Miss Farner will cover the roles of Melody Dent, Casey Dent, Nanette, and Victoria, played by Carrie Butler, Allison Strong, Megan Sikora, and Kate Loprest. Currently in previews, Under My Skin will open at the Little Schubert Theater on May 15th. Tickets are currently on sale through July 6th. For more tickets and information, you can visit undermyskintheplay.com. Rachel Potter will play the role of Eponine in Studio 10 Theater Company's upcoming production of Les Miserables. The production will be present at the Nashville Symphony Schermerhorn Symphony Center May 3rd and May 4th. For tickets and more information, you can visit Studio 10, that's studiotnn.com. On May 8th at 54 Below, Teal Wicks will present A Night of Songs with an acoustic set led by Jasper Grant. The concert, which begins at 9:30 p.m., will feature the works of Janis Joplin, Sarah Vaughan, Van Morrison, Patty Griffin, and others who have inspired Miss Wicks. There is a $30 to $40 cover charge with an additional $5 at the door. The food and beverage minimum is $25, and if you want more information, you can visit 54below.com. That's the number 54below.com. A big congratulations is in order to Andy Carl and Idina Menzel, who have both been nominated for Distinguished Performance Awards by the Drama League. Mr. Carl for his work in Rocky, and Ms. Menzel for her work in If Then. The award ceremony will be held on May 16th at the Marriott Marquis at 11:30 a.m. Performers are only eligible to receive this award one time during their lives. So, a congratulations to Mr. Carl and Ms. Menzel. That does it for this week's Wicked News section, and now we will head over to this week's theater news. Hello, listeners. This is Ryan here with this week's media section. Today we have three videos for you. Our first video is of Emmy Raver Lampman, who is a standby Elphaba on the First National Tour, and Shannon Mary Mills, who is also the understudy as Glinda on the First National Tour, and they're both performing for good. And Emmy also performs The Wizard and I at the Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center. They both perform really well together. The first clip that we have is from For Good. I love how their both of their voices blend really well together in the last section, which I'm going to highlight in a second. But the first clip that we have is of Shannon. And I just love how the notes kind of just effortlessly flow from her. She really does sound beautiful in this first section.
I've heard it said that people come into our lives for a reason, bringing something we must learn, and we are led to those who help us most to grow if we let them, and we help them in return. Well, I don't know if I believe that's true, but I know I'm who I am today because I knew you. Like a comet pulled from orbit as it passes the sun, like a stream that meets a boulder halfway through the wood, who can say been changed for the better, but because I knew you. I have been changed for good.
The next clip that we have is of the pair singing the final section of the song. I really love how their voices blend really well together, and I also love Emmy's anymore. It's just a little different take on it than just kind of, you know, staying on anymore like a ship, but it's a lot better sung by her. And just listen to how amazing it sounds.
And none of it seems to matter. Change for the better, and because I knew you, because I knew you, because I knew you, I have been
The next clip that we have is of Emmy performing The Wizard and I. If you watch the video, she's sitting down while singing this, and it's so odd to kind of see it out of context from the stage version. All I wanted her to do was at the end when, you know, got to the beginning, was I wanted her to stand, but as you see in the video, she's sitting down during this interview while she's performing as well. The first section that I want to play for you is the the wizard section, I guess, if you want to call it that. I love how her she makes it sound so playful, and it just sounds really cool. So take a listen to this first clip.
One day he'll say to me, Delphima, the girl who is so superior, shouldn't a girl who's so good inside have a matching exterior? And since folks here to an absurd degree seem fixated on your degree, would it be all right by you if I degree?
Here's that final clip that I was talking about where I wanted her to basically just stand up at the end. It's amazing. Listen. Of that performance, you're going to have to go to our website and check out that video. The next two videos that we have is of Idina Menzel performing on the Today Show, promoting If Then. She performed Learn to Live Without, and she also performed Here I Go with James Snyder. The first video that we have is of Idina singing Learn to Live Without. Now, if you haven't had a chance to see If Then, I think it's an excellent show. I saw it in previews on Broadway a couple of weeks ago. And it was really well done. A little hard to kind of follow at first, but once you kind of get into it, it's easy to follow through. So here's the first song, Learn to Live Without. I really love the ending of it. Idina does a beautiful job with transitioning from her lower register to her higher register. So here's that clip.
An hour with no unprompted tears, and not to count the deadly days. Fade into years. You learn to stand alone at last, so brave and bold and strong and stout. You learn somehow to like the dark and even love the doubt. You learn to hold your life inside you and never let it out. You learn to live and die and then to
Our final clip is from when Idina performed Here I Go with James Snyder. I really like this song. It's very upbeat and it's very catchy. I love the ending between the two. And Idina, again, does a really great job with her upper register. It sounds excellent. So here is that final clip. So that does it for this week's media section, and now we will head over to this week's interview. Hi, listeners. This is Isaac, and Shira and I are here with Eden Pintos, who is a swing and understudy for the role of Elphaba in the Mexico City production of Wicked. Eden, we're so delighted to have you doing this interview with us. How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you. This is actually my day off. Yesterday we had the two shows from the Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And by now I'm just relaxing and having a coffee at last.
So, tell us a little bit about yourself outside of theater before we get into the theater things. What are some other hobbies and things you like to do besides performing?
Hobbies? Oh my. Well, I think all my hobbies have to do with theater and musical theater. I like to go to dance classes. And, well, I do have a hobby. I love museums. And going to the movies, art movies. Yeah.
That's cool. Have you ever had an opportunity to come to New York and see some of the museums there?
No, I haven't been able. I've been saving money because I want to go on vacations. The next vacations that I could have.
Right.
Maybe when Wicked is over, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought about New York immediately when you said museums, because there are so many of them there, you know?
I know. I love to see them.
Yeah. So, tell us a little bit about some other theater you've done. I understand, I took a quick glance at your Facebook before we started this, so you did Mary Poppins before this, correct?
Yes, correct. I was in Mary Poppins. We ended the show last year.
Mm-hmm.
June, I think.
And so what was that experience like for you? Who did you play in Mary Poppins?
At Mary Poppins, I was part of the ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
And I also was a cover for Miss Brill.
Uh-huh.
And Miss Corey.
Cool.
Well, we call them covers here in Mexico. It's the first time I heard I don't know what's the word, término? Of understudy and standby.
Okay, yeah, the terms of understudy and standby.
Yes, that's right.
Wow.
So, it was very, very fun to do Mary Poppins.
That's cool.
That's awesome. So how did you come about to audition for Wicked, and how did you get involved in the Mexican production?
Well, I was actually at Mary Poppins still when we heard about the auditions for Wicked. So I had first to ask the manager from Mary Poppins if I could audition for that show, because I was still doing Mary Poppins.
Mm-hmm.
And she told us that there was no problem with it. So many of my companions from Mary Poppins went on for the audition. It was a very... a stressful time for me because I was doing the shows, and at the same time I had to study everything for the auditions for Elphaba. I was going crazy.
So what did they have you sing to audition for Elphaba? Was it The Wizard and I and Defying Gravity, I guess?
Yeah, those two. They also gave me the first adaptation for I'm Not the Girl, but they didn't ask me for that song.
Right. So tell us a little bit about, you know, you might have to walk us through it almost in baby steps, but or I don't know if it's similar to the American way of doing it, but what is the audition process like for a show in Mexico? Is it like, do you go into a call and do just sing some song from something else and do like a dance routine and then go audition for the specific role, or how does that all work over there?
Mm. I think it's maybe similar than what you do there, because they call you like for different etapas of the audition. Maybe the first one you have to sing. Mm-hmm. If you're going like for a singing audition,
mm-hmm.
you have to take like a song that you selected.
Right.
Or, well, in my case, they gave me the part of Elphaba from the beginning. So I sorry for my English.
No, it's fine.
I took a song that I selected from Once on This Island.
Oh, what song?
I really never had the chance to sing it because from the day one, I was like, okay, Defying Gravity. And I was like, oh my God, yeah, right now? Yeah. I finished it, and then they told me, okay, now do you want to drink some water because you're going to sing it again?
So they had you sing it more than once in a row, I guess?
Yes. Ooh. It was twice, and also The Wizard and I. I never really got to make a dance audition until the end.
Wow. And so, go ahead, Shira, what were you saying?
So how exactly did you hear that you got the role in Wicked? Who were the first people you told, and where were you when you found out?
I was at my dressing room in Mary Poppins with all my mates, mm-hmm. all the girls with me, and suddenly the company manager called at the door and said, Ben, can you come to the, outside? And I was like, oh my God, what I did. And then everybody was staring at me. The boys in the other room, they all went out and was staring in the door. And then he told me, Ben, you gotta come next Sunday to sign your contract. You're in Wicked. Oh my God. And then I started crying.
That is so fantastic.
Yeah.
So you and I chatted briefly about it on Twitter, but tell us a little bit about the rehearsal process for you and what it was like to work on learning all of those different characters at once, being a swing and covering Elphaba.
It was very, very tough. I have been a swing before. I was at the Chorus Line. That was my first production with Ocesa here in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And but in this case, this was very different because there I was swinging for many, like, small parts. Every one of them was a character, but I haven't been in a situation like this, like to be a very big and important role like Elphaba, mm-hmm. and also a cover for 4-3 tracks on the ensemble. So I was, like, trying to find out the best way to achieve that. So one day, I decided to do it one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this day I'm track female 12. And I was focusing only on that one and trying to take notes of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I had the 3 tracks from the ensemble, I start with Elphaba.
Right.
Oh, but it was very, very hard. I was I was like going mad through the rehearsals because... like, for example, in Emerald City,
mm-hmm.
all of my tracks are on the same scene.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know which one to look at.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but it was fun. Well, now it's fun because I know all of them now.
Yeah. So do you keep a little notebook with notes in it about each track for when you're going to go on, or...?
Yeah, sure.
I was going to say, I know that's a common thing that they do over here. A lot of times the swings will keep a notebook with, like, very specific notes for each track that they cover.
Yes, exactly. We have, like, a book that we call the Bible.
Uh-huh.
And then I have every note for each one of my tracks. So I have... I'm a cover, like, the midwife.
Yes.
It's one of them. And then the other two girls who are the singers in the ensemble.
Right.
And, well, that's it. Each day I have to watch the show if I'm not on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And to keep my memory, a good memory of everything they do on stage and behind the stage.
Right. Right, absolutely. So, now you've started rehearsal for the role of Elphaba, you said. So, who is working with you to teach you the role of Elphaba? Who is it over there that does that?
Well, I have, like, three directors.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is Isaac Saul, who is the orchestra the conductor.
Uh-huh.
And the other one is James Kelly, who is our scene director,
mm-hmm.
and Jacobo Toledo, who is in charge of the choreography.
Right.
So all my rehearsals are with them.
Right. So are you finding it
Are you finding it fairly easy to learn the role of Elphaba now that you're getting to focus just on it, or is it a challenge as well?
Right now, it's a little bit more easier because I have seen the show so many times, mm-hmm. and chat with Anna Cecilia and with Dana Paola, who are the leading ladies for these roles. So they have like gave me some tips of what to do.
Right.
And I know every time where she comes in on stage, what does she have to have on her hands, or if she has the hat on, or all those little details, no?
Right.
But it's kind of easier because I know all those things. When I'm rehearsing, the director doesn't have to give me, like, too many much notes of where to move or how to say things or how to sing it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. So when you sing the role of Elphaba, do you think you sing it in a way that's similar to Dana or Anna Cecilia, or do you have your own separate style of the way you do everything?
I think I have my own style.
Well, that's exciting. I can't wait to get to hear you do it at some point, you know?
It's very fun and to listen to them because they both do different things also. Dana and Anna, and they both are great singers and performers. But yes, I think I kind of be different.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
That I hope.
That's
I have my own way.
So now, when you first mounted the production, they actually brought a lot of the American team out to help mount it, correct? Like Lisa Lagoya and all of them. Adam Sousa, I think, came out too, correct?
Yeah, correct.
So what was it like to get to work with them?
Ah, it was great. I love the time we spent with Adam Sousa.
Mm-hmm.
He's so nice and funny. And
yeah.
Also, well, Stephen Oramus too. Oh, I was like shaking the first day he went in the room with us to hear us sing. I was like, oh my God, this is Stephen Oramus who already won a Tony. Oh my God, he's here.
Yeah, Adam is a sweetheart. I've met him a couple of times just seeing the show. I've seen the show a lot in the American production, so I've kind of gotten to know him a little bit. And he is a very sweet guy. And so I was kind of glad to see that he got to go out there and mount the production with you guys.
Yeah. We love them very much. Well, all of them gave us so much to be able to put on this show.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So, obviously, you're doing the production in Spanish. So, in learning the role of Elphaba and in the ensemble roles, did you ever refer to the English production, or how have you noticed any differences that you would have known from the English production on the Broadway cast recording or anything else?
Well, during the rehearsals, we had there the translator who's called, his name is Marco Villafan, who was in charge of translating all the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a fan of Wicked for many years, so I know all the lyrics in English by heart. I love them. And there's kind of a similarity in the meaning. And in some other parts, it's been hard to keep like those exact words from English to Spanish.
Right.
So Marco find a way to translate it without losing the like the heart of the phrase, like the meaning of what the character wants to say. Mm-hmm. I think it was very, very hard for him also. The last weeks of the rehearsals, we have here Winnie Holtzman and, I forgot the name of
Stephen,
the composer.
Stephen Schwartz?
Stephen Schwartz was here. So Marco Villafan, he had the opportunity to work directly with him. And I think they spent like many, many hours talking about how to translate the words. So it will be the best for the interpretation of what he meant to be the first time.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of neat. So talk a little bit about performing in the show. Have you done your first performance in the ensemble yet?
Yes. Yes, I've been in the ensemble, like, several times.
So have you done all of your tracks?
Sorry?
Have you done all of your tracks?
Yes, I've done all my tracks. Like, for example, yesterday was, like, a crazy day because in the first show of the day, I was performing the track where I cover for the midwife.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and on the second show, I have to cover another one.
So, oh, my God.
It is fun. It's like a challenge to stay focused on who you are and not suffering from multiple personality disorder.
Yeah.
So what do you remember about your first performance in the show and in which ensemble track? And then was it different through each different track that you've performed for your first show in those tracks?
The first one that I had to perform was that exactly, the midwife, F12, I think it is. Mm-hmm. It was fun. I think from the tracks that I cover in the ensemble, this is the easiest one because it sings, but it's not on every one of the musical numbers. Mm-hmm. So I have time like to go run for my Bible if I had like a blank space, you know, that, oh my God, where I go and which hunters.
Yes.
And it was fun. Then each show, it's a challenge because even though that I know all of them, there's always like a little details like, oh my God, I'm not in the perfect spot and I have to turn to the right instead of the left and all those things that you find out only when you are on stage.
Right. So, how do you feel about your first time going on as Elphaba? When did you say your put-in performance? When's your put-in rehearsal, did you say?
Oh, I guess it's the 21st of March.
So, how do you feel about that? Are you excited for it?
Yes, I'm very, very excited.
Do you think you're going to get to go on shortly after, maybe?
Oh, I hope so. I really hope so. It's like a dream to be able to perform that at last.
Right. Now, when is Wicked currently booking tickets through?
Oh, sorry, I didn't understand that.
Is the run open-ended, or have they set a date that it's going to close yet in Mexico City? I'm not sure.
Oh, no. We don't know when it's going to end yet.
So there's a good chance you will get to go on then, I guess, if there's still probably a good while left in it.
Yes, I think it is.
That's
so by wonderful. This time, the show is going great. Mm. We have, like, full shows each night.
Wow. Now, one thing I wanted to touch on, you mentioned that you guys do three shows in a day sometimes, correct?
Brief shows? What is that?
I said you do three shows in a day sometimes, right?
Oh, no. We do two shows a day.
Oh, I thought you said three earlier in the interview, and I was like, wow. So
no, we have the two shows. Thursday, we only do one, and from Friday to Sunday, there's two shows a day.
So what's it like to, you know, are you exhausted, I guess, Friday through Sunday? Do you just have to be extra careful to make sure you get enough sleep and eat healthy and all that during that time, I guess?
Yes. I always like try to go to bed early and to be in shape also. And sometimes when I do the two shows in some of my tracks, I end up really, really tired.
Right.
But well, that's my job and I really loved it.
Right. Now what So is the midwife track, F12, is that your favorite one to perform, you think?
Yes, I think so. I really like picking up that little green baby.
And so which other two do you cover, I guess, as the singer swing? Do you cover F3 as well?
F3, yes, I think it's that one.
I don't know what it would be in Spanish, but the American productions, that's No One Cries, They Won't Return.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay, I figured that was one.
The one is the one that plays Shenshen, one of Linda's friends.
Right. See, it's funny you mentioned that, because then F3 is usually the one that in the American productions has always covered Elphaba. So...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and the American productions, and it used to be this way in London and Australia, but they kind of deviated over there. But over here, with the exception of, I think, one performer in a San Francisco production at one point, that the F3 has always been the Elphaba cover. Like right now on Broadway and both national tours we have here, that's the Elphaba cover track. And then the Singer Swing covers Nessa Rose.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. That's just kind of interesting to me that it's a little bit different there, you know?
Yes, it's different. Maybe because we have two Elphabas, two living Elphabas.
Right, that could have something to do with it. Because like I said, you know, here we have a standby Elphaba, and then we have the F3 cover for that track. So it's just fascinating. So tell us a little bit about the costumes and all that in Wicked. Do you have a favorite that you really like to wear?
Yes, I think that's the... Emerald City gown. It's wonderful. And also the one that I wear in, here is called Sala Bailar. The Osgo's Ball.
Yes, Dancing Through Life.
Oh, Dancing Through Life.
Yeah, that one. Those two are my favorite, I think. But also the one that I wear when I'm a part of the mob.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's great. It has like a very shining purple color. So
right.
It's really strange because all the other costumes of my companions in the mob are like ochre or dark tones. And mine is the only one who's very, very shiny.
Well, and that's kind of funny because over here, that's the same costume that the Singer Swing has. It's that purple, kind of slender, shiny costume.
Yeah, that so, one?
Yeah, it's the same. They have the female Singer Swing wear that same one over here, usually.
Uh-huh. So. With a very big hat, like with a huge flower.
Yes, that's it.
Mine.
I'll have to send you a picture on Facebook when we get done and make sure it's the same one. But I'm. It sounds like there's only one real bright purple mob costume, so.
Yes. The first time that I went down and wore it, the guy that plays Buck, when we got to Witch Hunters, I was like... in the middle of all the mob. So he was staring at me from the tower, like, with oh my God, what is that purple thing in the middle of the mob? And he couldn't stop staring at me.
That is so funny.
That's awesome. So in your time performing in Wicked or in other shows that you've done, have you had any funny onstage bloopers or mishaps that you'd like to share with us?
Oh, yes, I have a very big one from Wicked. I was performing that track, the F12, the Midwife.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the first time, but, well, as my beautiful and greenish gown from Emerald City has this very, very big hat with twirls and things on it.
Mm-hmm.
So this track appears the first time in the left stage balcony. And oh my God, I got stuck in the curtain.
Oh no.
Oh no. It was a mess. I got stuck there and I had to... I was like, oh my God, who's going to help me? So I saw one of the dancers crossing behind me, but she had to get on stage, so she couldn't do anything. And I had to stay there until I took all the bobby pins off the hat. So I really got late for the next part of the scene. I got on stage right at the moment when the curtain falls for Windsor Maniac. Oh, no, it was hilarious. The stage manager that I told, oh, please, my hat is stuck on the curtain. He took that in the intermission. And he was telling me, like, oh, my God, Eden, how did you get stuck there? It was so high that I couldn't get it off the curtain.
Wow. That's funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
I guess it's funny now. I guess at the time it was more scary than anything else.
Oh, yes, I was so scared. I was like, oh, my God, they're going to kill me.
Well, It's better than, you know, over here there was actually a blooper one time with, I want to say it was Megan Hilty, who was one of the Glindas, that she got stuck in her Glinda ball gown after No One Mourns the Wicked, and they had to cut, with scissors, cut her out of it to get her on Pretty Old Shiz.
Oh, no.
So, worse things have happened, at least, right?
Yeah, now I know.
But, so what, have you gotten to try on your Elphaba costumes yet as well? Have you gotten to be painted green yet?
Yeah, twice.
What was that like?
Oh, it was great. The first time I was like, oh my God, they're going to paint me in green. I got to take a lot of pictures of this. And it tickles when they paint inside the ears.
I'm sure.
It also feels a little bit cold. And it is very hard to wash that off. The next day, I still got some green inside my ears.
So, I don't know, once again, I don't know if they do this in Mexico City, but over here, we a lot of times, after the show as fans, we have an opportunity to go and wait by the stage door and meet the people playing the roles, and they'll sign and take pictures with us and that kind of thing. Do you guys do that over there as well?
Yeah, sometimes. There are fans that wait for us to go out from our dressing rooms.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the top part of this is that our theater is very, very big.
Mm-hmm.
So we have like two doors where we are able to go in and out from it. Mm-hmm. But one of them is in the back, and not many people know about that door. So everybody stays in the lobby waiting for us to go out from there, and sometimes the cast members just don't use that one.
Right, right. It's funny you mentioned the makeup being so hard to get out, because what I was going to say is at the stage door over here, when we meet people, a lot of times the Elphaba will have their hair pulled back, and you can still see green in their hairline after the show, you know?
Yeah.
So understand that. So have you, another question relating to Elphaba, have you gotten to fly yet?
Yes, once. I had like a technical rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like 2 months ago. And that was my first time. The stage managers were there, and also James Kelly, who's our director, and also Jacobo, the choreographer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of them were there. And they teach me how to step on the platform and how to press the hook that grabs my waist.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shaking, I remember. And then Isaac was there also, the orchestra director, and he told me, okay, are you ready? You're going to do it and sing it at the same time. Oh, my God, it feels great.
Does it really?
Like a bunch of butterflies in my stomach at the time I was saying, the part when she says, it's me.
Right.
Soy yo. It was great.
That is so fantastic. Well, as we finish up, we like to, since you've kind of had a career in theater so far and you seem to be doing well, what advice, and this can be for, you know, people in Mexico City who might be listening to this, or for people in America, wherever in the world, really. Is there any advice you would give to people who want to be performers?
Yes. And that will be keep practicing. Keep learning things. And don't settle. Maybe you can be born with a natural talent for like to sing or dance. But it's very hard because you need to have as many abilities as you can to stay in this business, I think. That will be my best advice.
Mm-hmm.
Don't rely on the talent and keep working.
Right. Well, I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Eden. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. This was great. And please pardon my English.
Oh, it was great. I'm sure everybody will be able to understand it perfectly.
For sure.
Thanks for listening to this week's Innuendo and Outuendo podcast. We love hearing your feedback, so be sure to email us at editor@innuendoandoutuendo.com, find us on Facebook at Innuendo and Outuendo, or find us on Twitter @wicked_blog. Have a great week.